No, I had this crazy, wacky, whacked out whack idea. I mean, it was whack. And I said, I should get a simple way. You know, I mean, Bible stories, you know, are a thing, you know. It's like they're all over the map. I mean, there's so many of them, you know. And I said, what about just having like a few key Bible stories to really give people a good survey of what happens in the Old Testament and the New Testament? I mean, Jesus' life itself is all over the map. You know that one blind man he healed? Oh, wait, no, it was two. Or was it three or six? Or was it, oh, wait, did he say get up or was it mud? Or what? Wait, didn't he heal some guy on the Sabbath? Oh, that was the blind. It's like, what? Wait, how many Marys and Marthas are there? You know, there's all these stories. And for most of us, it's just this collection. So I had this whacked out idea. I said, what if there's just a few of them? So I put them in order and I chose a number. I was going to do 51. I was going to do 50. But I was reading through Nehemiah. And Nehemiah built the wall in 52 days. I said, well, there's 52 weeks in a year. So I own 52bible.com. It's 52 Bible stories. And if you go there, like after about 36 are just these empty numbers, at least they are today. But I got the Old Testament mapped out. No, you go through and read it. And I wanted something that adult Bible students could breeze through quickly to get the gist of and really put it in a chronological order. And you know the highlights and the importance. But that young English readers, whether they're ESL students from other countries or their American children learning to read, would be able to read and you know, learn from. And my goal with this is I eventually want to have six mini stories under each one of these. And the more you read, the more advanced the English language gets. That's actually what I'm going for. So it'll be divided up into these groups. That's 52bible.com. And that's what I've been playing with this week. There. That's what I've done. So what am I going to talk to you about? I'm half inclined to go off on a rant about homosexuality because people are talking about it. So I don't know. I mean, you don't have a better idea, do you? What does Jesse Steele think about homosexuality? Well, it's not going to be normal. I'll tell you that. And it's going to be that typical Jesse's the only person who's right and everyone else is wrong. You know that I don't think that, but think about it for a second. Anyone who has a book is promoting themselves. And if you don't promote yourself, then you don't really have a book. I mean, writers are right by definition, at least it's their ongoing state of being. And even if a writer is truly a humble, caring, others-focused person, in the public, they have to be me-focused, or people don't want to listen to them. The writer, the speaker, the expert, the guy, the guru, the pundit, he comes in, he's talking, and people want to hear what he has to say. And he has to act like people want to hear what he has to say. He has to act like he wants to hear what he has to say, even if he doesn't. So, you know, that Sunday morning pious pastor fake humility stuff doesn't get along with that well. I remember my dear aunt, I loved her dearly, but she hated the Rush Limbaugh TV show. Why is he at the bottom of this corner of the screen looking up at the guy making fun of him? I don't need that. But, and it's, auntie, it's funny. You never see that on TV. But I don't need that. I think she struggled with a little bit of fake humility inside. And Limbaugh, with his fake personality pride, offended that. Homosexuality. What do I think of it in 4 minutes? I don't think it's, I don't believe in it. That's the gist. Milo Yiannopoulos says there's no such thing as a lesbian. But then he turns around and he says, which is in itself is not a contradiction. I'm trying to put what he says. He says, well, men have been actively homosexuals for thousands and thousands of years. It goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah, the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, there actually were two times in the Bible that a seemingly pure Sodomite city was burned. One was Sodom and Gomorrah. God burned it. But then there was it Gibeah, George? Was it? That's right. 52Bible.com isn't finished, so you don't know how to go check and fact check that. Well, I'll keep thinking. I'll keep working on that. But it was really the chapter numbers are similar from Judges in Genesis. The chapter numbers are the same, kind of. It's really, really interesting, the parallels. Not identical, but similar. A foreigner, a guy's house, really. And it's very difficult to look in the rest of the Bible to say that those two, that Sodom and Gomorrah being judged wasn't connected to sodomy. I mean, it was named after it. But I'm not, now that's the question about, yes, it's been going on for a long, long, long time. Why were the Sunday morning Bible preachers with the Sodom and Gomorrah story in their Bibles under their arms shocked? Milo's right about that much anyway. It has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And the church's big mistake, the Sunday morning church anyway, was being shocked about it. Acting shocked about something that's old news doesn't help stop it. Thank you. You're welcome. So on the one hand, yes, the Bible does clearly judge it, but I'm told not to. I don't judge homosexuals. I don't sit there, "Oh, you evil homosexual." I don't think that. I read the Bible objectively and I see that God says he will. But he also says that I'm not supposed to judge anything. I don't read the Bible just to put my own ideas into it. So there's a lot that goes unreported. Frankly, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in homosexuality as a state of being. I don't believe that there's homosexuals and heterosexuals. We're all created as heterosexuals. You cannot, on your own, without scientific alteration, which will make you susceptible to all kinds of diseases, like a GMO crop, you cannot reproduce biologically without it being heterosexual. So I don't believe in homosexuality as an identity. I think a lot of people are either introspective or not, and they see their own thoughts and feelings or not. And I'll speak about men here, of the young men who see these feelings in themselves, which other men have but don't see, many of them sexualize them. Well, I don't. Young men think about a strong man's body, and they think about man parts, just like you think about car parts. And some men think, "Oh, it means sexualness." And other men are smart enough to say, "No, it means that I'm a human being." So I take Milo Yiannopoulos a step further. Yeah, it's been going on. Yes, God will judge it. No, I'm not to judge it. But I don't think it's a state of being. I think we all are who we are. And someone who thinks that he is something that he's not just doesn't understand himself. But we don't need to hate him. I don't need to hate him. What's with the hate? Why? How many homosexual friends I've had tell me, "I don't want to talk to you anymore." Come on, grow up. Show me that you're right. You know, I should get to the point. The amount of hard work needed to survive is unfair. But so are the payoffs. Every victor, every winner, every success story did an unfair amount of hard, smart work. Too much, in fact. That's why they make victory look so easy. Don't be distracted by fairness. Nothing is fair, even your strengths. Everyone has an unfair advantage and an unfair disadvantage. Oftentimes, they are the same. What makes it fair is hard work and self-honesty about why hard work fails. Keep going. Once you've done more work than you need, you'll be rewarded more than you deserve. And that's the point. I'm Jesse Steele, jessesteele.com.